Hey, this is Holly. Before we start today's episode, I just wanted to pop in and say we record ahead of time because of a lot of things going on in our lives. So the episode that you're going to hear today was recorded before everything in our world shifted because of coronavirus. So please listen with that in mind. We've heard from people too that they still like to hear about things other than just the coronavirus. So we've decided to go ahead and air these episodes. But we wanted to give you a little heads up. Again, we appreciate you for being our fourth chair friend. And whatever is to come, we are going to figure out how to get through it together.
So it sounds like fear is helpful when it causes us to pause and be intentional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It sabotages us when it paralyzes us and keeps us from taking action.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Hey, fourth chair friends. Today we are talking about a topic that's on all of our minds and all over the news, fear. Mm. So we have touched on this in the past, but with everything going on in our world right now, we thought it would be helpful to pause and take a closer look at fear and how it can help us and how it can sometimes not be so helpful.
Yeah, I think this is a really important discussion for us all to have. So pull your chair a little bit closer. We want to hear what you have to say when you show up in the Facebook group, and we can take that deeper. But today's confession question is this: what's a story of when fear has helped you, and what's a story of when fear has sabotaged you?
My goodness. Oh, wow. How much time do we have for this? What just popped into my head right now is when I was working at a bank in Oklahoma, and I was not used to all of the tornadoes and all of those things that were going on. And so I was freaking out.
Yeah.
To them, it was just another day in Oklahoma, you know? And so one of the ladies said, "You can go and stand in the vault, and that's super safe." But I went in there, and I'm looking at all of these like stacks of $100 bills and all of that. And I was like, and they were all calm. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And I'm really showing my age here. And so I was like, I decided that, you know, I needed to leave the smell of money and just go back out there and just trust them that they would know, yeah, you know, how it was going to happen or if it was going to happen. And of course, nothing did. And yeah, we were fine.
You know, it's really funny because I am from Oklahoma. And so there is this thing, like when the tornado warnings go off, if you can see it, you go to the cellar, but usually you're standing on your front porch and you're watching
like,
for
Oklahoma
it.
Oklahoma people are crazy.
Yeah, a little bit crazy. And no, I remember that one time we had a tornado come and Richard was standing on the front porch watching, and he was like, "Grab some food," and like we were going to have a picnic or something, you know. So yeah. I totally get that.
Yeah. So that was one of those times, yeah, that I felt silly, and everything was fine, but I probably shouldn't have watched Twister, you know, where the cows are like flying up in the air. You remember that old movie?
Yeah.
And so it was just one of those times that my fear was just kind of really out of proportion, and I felt silly, but it was a learning curve for me.
Yeah. But it is a tornado.
It is a tornado. And that's, yeah, a big deal. Yeah. Right?
We are not advocating this behavior that you go out on your porch in a tornado.
But you
public service announcement.
You could
listen
go into a bank and be
to
like,
"To your weatherman.
Look, I know that this is the safest place. So can I like hang out in your vault for a little bit?"
Yeah. You know, and nobody in Oklahoma has basements really.
No.
So
yeah,
you go to some kind of cellar,
yeah,
where there's water in there and, you know, who knows,
right,
what else in there. So, yeah, no, get in the bathtub. That's what my, yeah, mom always did.
Well, and what I learned from that is that people are really helpful. And if they can see that you're super scared about something, they're,
yeah,
going to do something to alleviate that.
Yeah.
So maybe my fear sabotaged me a little bit in that, but I still learned a lot. And
yeah,
it's a super funny story now. Wasn't that?
I love the fact that you're in a vault with lots of money.
I know, right?
Yeah. So I was on an international trip, and it was a ministry trip. And I was in leadership, but I was with adults. And so we had went down to this remote part of the ocean, and it was raw and wild, and there were signs everywhere with huge, you know, warnings.
Yeah.
Like, not just stay away from the water, but stay at a really healthy distance from the water. And suddenly I had all of these adults who said, you know, the water's calm. It's beautiful. We're going to go down and put our feet in there. And I was like, no, you know, we can't. We shouldn't. And I almost felt bad because it was calm. And it was beautiful. And I get it. I wanted my feet in the water, too. Not only that, it's not fun telling other adults what to do. But I kind of pulled rank and said, you know, I really like, there's 15 signs in this small area. Let's heed those. Yeah. And not 2 minutes later, this giant wave just broke and it crashed onto the beach where we were. We were at a distance. And some of the people that were closer were like skipped like stones. The water was so powerful. And it came over me, completely put me under the water, buried me in the sand, but it receded as quick as it had come in. So people got up, they were bruised and they had, you know, scrapes. And I had like 10 pounds of sand in my clothes, my ears, my nose. But all I could think of was, what if I had been sitting, or anybody had been sitting right at the edge? And what I took away from that is that we should have a healthy respect, number one, for things that are more powerful than us. Mm-hmm. And then second, we also should have a healthy respect for those who know what we don't know.
Right.
You know, those warning signs were there for a reason. Right. So that's when fear helped me. Fear can sabotage me when I feel like God asking me to step into new territory, like completely brand new territory. And all the what ifs start hitting really, really hard. And it's not so much fear of failure. It's just a fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
You know, and it can keep me from discovering something really, really cool that God already knows.
Right.
Yeah. So when fear has helped me, when I grew up in this neighborhood in Texas with lots of golf course ponds, and there are occasionally alligators in the ponds. Oh. And my brother and I like to feed this one alligator. So my parents did not know about this. And my daddy eventually found out. He then found out that alligators can jump the entire length of their body.
I did not know that.
I did not know that either.
You're no longer feeding our stale bread to the 4-foot alligator in the pond on the golf course.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yes. So I look back and yeah. Good thing that my dad at least had some healthy fear on my behalf, even if I was at an age where I was fearless. And when I think about when fear sabotaged me, it's times where I think there is an alligator and there isn't. Yes. Like, that it's just sense. A log.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go speak and I think the audience is full of alligators and they're not.
Right.
Or I'm going to, like you said, try something new. Yeah. And I'm sure there's an alligator hiding behind the corner.
And it's going to jump.
I don't take the step forward that it can jump the entire length of its body.
Yeah.
And get me.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like fear is helpful when it causes us to pause and be intentional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It sabotages us when it paralyzes us and keeps us from taking action.
Yeah. Well, and that's like what I did. I like stopped everything and hid. You know, and I think that that's, you know, I would say a tornado, but that was my go-to and a lot of things in life that I would, instead of going and facing the thing that I was afraid of, I would hide or run from it, you know, and that's a really hard thing. It can be a pattern that keeps us stuck forever if we just give into it.
I think if I look at our culture right now, if you were to sit down with women across the world and you ask them, you know, what's one word that describes what we're living in right now? I think fear describes it.
Yeah.
I do. And I think that knowing the difference between what is a healthy respect for something and then what is when fear becomes a bully.
Yeah.
You know, because fear can absolutely be a bully.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do we know the difference? How is a person supposed to know the difference? Because I'm thinking about all the headlines and all the news lines right now. And it's like, man, it's so fear driven, but you also want to have a healthy respect for what's going on.
I think like just preparing without hysteria. Like that has just kind of been my go-to, is that I want to be prepared. I want to be well-informed. Mm-hmm. But when it starts to be all fear-driven mm-hmm. instead of like fact and information, that's what kind of makes me know, what am I going to play into? So how am I going to like let this be a healthy thing? Because it would be really easy for me to be the most OCD person on the face of the planet. I want to be informed and prepared, but not panicked.
Yeah. I think too, asking, you know, what's the source and what is that source's motivation? So like your doctor is a source saying, hey, the flu would not be the best thing for you, for any of us. Right. Be cautious. His motivation is your well-being.
Yeah.
So that's a trustworthy source. I think sometimes we listen to like the news or articles on the internet and we forget that news organizations, they're not nonprofits.
Right.
And their currency is attention. That's how they make money, is by getting people to watch as much and fear sells. I watched a documentary about the guy who started a major news organization, and he literally told his people, fear and division sell. Keep people afraid and divided.
Well, that just makes me angry.
It does. Me too.
But it also means it works, doesn't it? Need to, when we see headlines, when we see all these things, yes, there probably is some truth in them. There's probably some facts that we need to pay attention to.
Yeah.
But we also need to understand that they're always coming through a megaphone that is meant to get more attention, because more attention equals more dollars. Right.
Wow.
So from a practical perspective, you know, and that applies not just to news, but any area of our life. Is the person causing me fear someone who has my best interests at heart, or could there be something else going on?
Right. Yeah. And I just want to say, like, you know, when I think about journalism and news, you know, there's a purity to that that keeps us informed. But there's also, I think what I hear you saying, Holly, is that don't stop at the headline.
Yeah. Well, and news now, like cable news, it's not independent. News Today is not always independent.
Right.
I believe there are still some organizations that uphold what you said, that it's about informing the public with their best interests at heart.
Yeah.
But a lot of news today is for profit.
Yeah.
And so we need to just be aware of that.
Know the difference.
Anyway, that's a little side trail.
But I think it's important. You know? I think it's important because it tells me, Holly, that I need to, because I'm a Pollyanna, so I have to take a step back and say, okay, listen, if I'm truly going to be informed on this, I'm going to go deeper than a headline.
Yeah,
number one, I'm going to know the source. Number two, I'm going to really check this out and know that it's true.
Yeah.
And then how do I respond to that? Not how do I react to it, but how do I respond to that knowing the information that I have?
Yeah.
No, I think it's valuable.
And I think the same principles apply to the headlines in our minds.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of times it's like breaking news, you're totally going to blow it. Breaking news, no one likes you, you know, and so
breaking news,
I think it's the same thing, alligator, you know? and so we're like, what's the source? All right. Maybe it's the enemy who does not have our best interest in mind. Maybe it's just our own broken human nature that, you know, is not always the best informed.
Yeah.
But still the same principle is like, okay, if there's a headline in my life, whether it's external or internal, where is it coming from? What's the motive behind it? And what is the response God is asking of me?
Yeah. That's well, good. And I have to know that fear triggers fear. So in the instance where I'm having to look at adults and say to them, hey, I know you really want to do this, and I know that you are an adult, but right now I'm in a place of leadership and protection. And so here's my fear. I'm going to have to conquer the fear that you're not going to like me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that's all going on inside.
Yes.
As well. And having to say, you know, I just don't think that's in our best interest. And right now I'm in this place of guidance and direction here. And so we're going to stay back, you know, and that's hard.
It is hard.
So what's going to help us like stay in the healthy fear mode instead of the panic mode? Yeah. Like, what's helping you? I mean, because I know that we're all well-read and staying on top of what's going on. So what's helping you stay anchored?
Oh,
I think some of the things we've talked about, and also recognizing, it sounds like a big paradox, but the fear is often the most dangerous thing. Mark and I had a conversation about this the other day. We said, look back through history at the biggest tragedies of human history.
Yeah.
Fear is at the root. This group of people is somehow dangerous. Let's get rid of them.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think pausing and just realizing, yes, fear can be protective, but fear is also destructive.
Yeah.
So the safest way to live is not to live in fear. It's still to live in faith.
Yes.
Informed yeah. faith, rational faith, yeah. you know, intentional yeah. faith, but still to realize that fear does not lead to safety.
Yeah. And I think we need to be aware that we do really have an enemy, that fear is a tool that he uses. And, you know, I said fear is a bully. Well, sometimes fear makes us be a bully. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if we find ourselves because we're afraid of people, or we're afraid of a specific thing, and somehow now we're bullying them out of our own fear, I think we need to be aware of that and know the source of where that comes from and just reject that.
Yeah.
It's not healthy.
And the root of that is really our fight or flight response, which yeah. is biological.
Yeah.
And it saves our lives when we need to respond in an instant. Bear comes charging out of the woods. We're not going to be like, what species is that? You know, we're going to be either, you know, picking up a whatever, something to defend ourselves or running away. And so in those yeah. situations, that system is very helpful. Where we get tripped up is in our modern world. That system gets triggered by things that are not the threats they seem to be.
Yeah.
The things that are okay for our other parts of the minds God has given us to handle. Mm-hmm. So I think when we find ourselves triggered by fear, we can pause and say, all right, this is something to pay attention to.
Sure.
You know, so I'm going to pause and I'm going to give my attention to it and I'm going to think through it. And then I'm going to decide the best course of action.
Yeah, that's really smart. I was reading this morning Psalm 34:4, and David actually wrote this when he was in a very hard place. In fact, he literally was surrounded, and he said, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he rescued me from all my fears. He didn't rescue him necessarily from the men. That's what's interesting. He rescued me from all my fears, and those who look to him are radiant with joy. And I just thought that was fascinating because there was a shift with David that, yes, he was still a warrior. Yes, he was still on the front line. Yes, he was still being pursued. But in his heart and his soul, because he turned from the fear to the Lord rescued him from his fears in the midst of what was a really fearful situation.
Yeah. And I love that. And I think as we talk about, you know, practical steps we can take, that makes me think maybe in this time of all these scary headlines, we all choose a spiritual headline.
Yeah.
So maybe that is your spiritual headline, that mm-hmm. you're going to have that verse up somewhere in your house and look at it and read it and mm-hmm. remember, you know, this is my spiritual headline, no matter what else is going on in my world.
Yeah. And my one practical thing is to understand that we are given a spirit of discernment.
Yes.
And to pause and look to the Lord and just say, is this really an alligator? You know, if it is, Lord, then I'm going to move back 4 feet, you know, more than 4 feet. I'm going to heed that. But if it's not, show me that.
Right.
So that I can act in faith and encourage, even if my knees are trembling, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
without fear being the focus.
Yeah. I have to ask myself, because I intend to be reactionary. So I will just ask myself, is your response here like fear-based or is it faith-based? Like, are you like being proactive or are you like in defense mode? So yeah. that always kind of, I have to ask myself, okay, let's be real. You know, why are you responding this way?
And I asked something similar, which is it fear or love?
You yeah.
know, because I think that's another perspective. I love yeah. that verse. It says perfect love casts out fear. Mm-hmm. But I think the reverse is true, that fear can crowd out love.
Yeah, yeah absolutely.
So if yeah. I find fear causing me to withdraw yeah. from life and people in a way that is crowding out love.
Yeah.
I think that's another signal for me to pause and say, okay. You know, this has gone beyond helpful fear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is turning into something else. And so I'm going to step away from that and back toward love.
Yeah. yeah. That's really good. So what are we going to be talking about next?
Next week is You're Not Crazy.
Sometimes I am.
Well, sometimes I'm, you know, crazy with it. Capital C there. But yeah, so I think this is going to be a really fun one.
Yeah. So we love leaving you with resources, and I have a fun one to share. I have a new little gift book with Dayspring that just came out called Cheering You On, 50 Reasons All Things Are Possible with God. So if you need some of those spiritual headlines, there are 50 of them in this book, along with a lot of other words. So it would be a resource that you or someone in your life who maybe struggles with fear could just pick up. They're short, and just each day say, okay, I'm going to not let fear be the boss of me. I'm going to listen to the voice of love. I'm going to take steps forward in faith. And we will do that with you, Fourth Church friends. Whatever comes, we are in it together.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.